Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
Isn't God wonderful?
Yes.
Hello, technology. Are you working tonight? Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay. So, welcome, Wednesday night folks. How y'all doing? I'm just looking around. Stay in. Are you expecting something tonight? Can you feel it? What's Jesus up to? You know, I was getting dressed for the meeting, and I had a flash picture of these pants that I'm wearing right now, these little fatigue army-looking weird pants that are really meant for summer because they're capris. And the Lord said, I want you to wear them tonight. I'm like, okay. I was amazed they fit. And I put them on, and I put on a burgundy shirt, a Spirit of God shirt, and the Lord said, no, wear black, and then put a green sweatshirt over it. And I'm like, okay. And I go to get my preaching shoes. I have two of my favorite shoes that I like to wear. And he says, no, wear your boots tonight. I'm like, okay. So, what is the Lord up to? That's what I'd like to know. She's got hers on too. Yeah, hey, come on now. You know, what's the Lord up to? So, here's the thing. If obedience is so important, and it's that still small voice, while we're in the middle of getting stuff going, and all of a sudden we see a flash of something that he wants us to do, that's the Holy Spirit. And if it's something bad, that's the enemy. So learn to discern the difference. Or if it's not right, you're just like, I'm not sure, plead the blood of Jesus and ask the Lord to show you again, because he's so good, he will.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So be careful of counterfeiters. And so as I was putting on my boots, these boots were full of paint, and he said, wash your boots. Like 5 minutes before I got to leave. I mean, there's a lot of paint on. That's not easy to do. And so I start to take the specs off, and I was noticing the shoelaces, and he said, inspect your boots. And he's actually commissioning us to put on our marching boots again. Some of you had marching boots and were prayer warriors and were zealous for the Lord, but got taken out or got captive into a POW camp. And it happens. I'm telling you the truth, it happens. But God tonight is restoring what was lost and stolen. And I think it's going to be military fashion, although I have no idea what that even looks like.
Amen.
And so a couple things is, I could have chose to disobey and just wear my black preaching shoes and be comfy, or I could do it as I always do it, which we're in a season where everything is changing. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. The old way of doing things no longer works because he wants fresh manna from heaven. He's done with protocol, ritual, and the way it's always been. That's called the church, and he's looking for the bride. And so we're coming out tonight of our cages. We're coming out tonight of our cages. God picked that song, not me. He picked three of them that I know of, and I don't know what went on with the rest of them. I was just listening to what he told me. See, we know in part and hear in part because we need the whole body as a whole. Otherwise, we get puffy. Oh, God chose me to wear my boots. Well, la-di-da,
right.
You know. Here's the thing about the boots. He said, pay attention to the strings. Yeah, and so I was examining my boots, and they look pretty good. They do need a little oil rub on them, which I will do. He said, tend to your boots. Tend to the boots, because sometimes we get so busy, we just throw them on, and the shoelace is hanging off, and we trip and fall. Shoelace frayed, it breaks, and then we have no support to do what the Lord tells us to do. So, I can't tend to your shoelaces. I can't tend to your boot or the condition of your boot. He gave every one of us shoes, boots, clothing in the Spirit. And we have the responsibility as ambassadors to the King of Kings. Do you all know you're ambassadors?
Yes.
You carry the authority of Jesus Christ into the earth. You have to tend to your stuff and stop waiting for somebody to come and pray for your shoelace to mend together. Take authority. Command that thing to grow back if it needs to, or go out and fill up your shoelaces. Go out and fill up your oil lamp. I know it's a weird parable, but this is what the Lord is saying right now. Anybody have my water? Thank you. This is actually water and electrolytes, because Lori got dehydrated the other day. Hallelujah. Now, right now, they're cutting this out. He's in training. So I'm giving him an opportunity to learn some cool stuff. So I'm not sure how it's going to work, and that's what I love about the Lord. I don't plan. And I want to say a couple things, because I know we got some new people in here who are like, whoa, the Holy Ghost. I'm not so sure about that. Who is he? I thought Jesus was the Holy Ghost. Well, he is. They're all three, one in one Godhead. You get it? Okay. So when I was in worship, the Lord reminded me of a picture of when I used to go to church on Thursday nights. I think it was Thursday nights at the seeker-friendly church. And the midweek service was a little deeper. And, and I was after the deeper of the Spirit of God. And so I would go to this midweek service. But in the worship, they had this lady that sat at the keyboard. And she was so gifted. She was a phenomenal pianist, musician, artist. And she would, you know, do the songs. And, like, maybe just a simple song that we all know, like, Jesus Loves Me. I'll just do that one. She never did that one, but I'll just do that one because that's what's coming to mind. Jesus loves me, this I know. Hallelujah! Well, wait a minute. That's not in the song. And stop it, because it's messing with the box, the cage I'm in. And so I would get so frustrated when she would sing and then detour in any hand-raising or, you know, shama or anything like that. You know, it would drive me nuts. I did not understand it because it was a work of the Spirit and I was in my flesh because I wasn't really Spirit-filled. I was born again, but not Spirit-filled. They are two separate transactions. There's many transactions if you dig deep into the Word. And so my little religious spirit, ooh, did I say I had one? Yeah, I did. My little religious spirit would get so riled up because of the hallelujah or amen that did not fit in that phrase. And everybody knew it but her. And what was wrong with her? You know, and so, but here's what happened. I kept coming because the Spirit of the Lord was there. And it was drawing me and wooing me. And as I would come, he would change my thinking. And he would open up. When I got filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, things shifted very quickly. It was like I went from dark to light. I was blind and now I saw. The Word of God came so alive. I couldn't understand the Word before. I'm like, yawn, what, And then when you get born again, Spirit-filled, it's like it's water to your soul. It's spirit to spirit. It's a communing of oneness with the Father. And it's a prayer. It's a poetic prayer. And it's my life. The Word of God is my life. It is who I am in Him. And so I transitioned out of the hallelujah bothering me so much, but I still couldn't do it, nor did I want to. And I wasn't going to fake something that wasn't real anyway. But see, here's the thing. I was very shy and broken and bound. And so I didn't like when things were not normal or what I expected in a church service. And guess what? That's flesh and that's not God. And so I'm expecting them to fit my box, to keep me comfortable. And they're moving in the Holy Spirit and things are happening. And so what ended up happening is because there was a draw on my heart to know Jesus in a more intimate way, I kept coming. And then I finally went to Edgar and Holly Bailey Ministries and met Jesus there and changed my whole life and got filled with the Holy Spirit. And I also got delivered of a spirit of shyness. I got delivered of a religious spirit. And now I'm no longer ashamed of the gospel message. I'm no longer ashamed. And that's my heart's cry for everyone. I'm no longer ashamed. Can you share the love of Jesus with your neighbor, with the broken, with the hurt? Or is the the brokenness inside of you stopping you. Now listen, I had to go through many deliverances and many changes and repent on a lot of stuff and have my mind reformatted through the Word so that I could learn to love like people love. You know, when the Lord was teaching me how to hear His voice and speak, when I could hear Him very well, but yet if He was crying, I wasn't going to cry because I was tough. I was a street person, and tough people don't cry. And so the Lord started working on my heart to open that up. And He wouldn't say, aha, you can't cry, you baby head. He would say, when's the last time you cried? See, He's so loving. He doesn't, like, call you out. He draws you in. And hear me, I don't even think there's a problem because why cry? And He says to me, when's the last time you cried? And I thought about it, and I'm like, well, I know I cried when I got married, and I know I cried when my son got in trouble. But that was a long time ago. And so He didn't do it to accuse. He brought it to open. And so I went through a season of crying out for emotional wholeness. And so I went through Holly's getting free, staying free. I went through managing your emotions. I went and worked everything that I could find on the CD table, and I would not relent. And so what ended up happening, I'm like that weirdo that would buy the Carlton Sheets online real estate course and do it. I actually would be one to do it, that don't just stick it in your closet, I actually do it. And you see great success. I like when things are simple. You guys are like, who's Carlton Sheets? It would be Tony Robbins today, okay? I like things that are simple and formatted in a way that I can follow them. And if I follow them and it works, praise the Lord. And along the way, it spurs up questions in your heart and you ask the Holy Spirit, what does this mean? You know, I don't understand how this works. And then He'll show you a picture or find it in Scripture, or somebody will come along and give you what you need to charge you into the next question or answer. Does that help anybody here tonight? Okay, so I'm saying all that because things are changing rapidly, and it's never been easier to get freer in God than it is right now. Old things are passing away. 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 Now, some of you are like, amen, amen. But as I'm releasing that, I'm seeing it in the Spirit. I'm seeing like hits in the Spirit of like notches in a wood post of some very strong strongholds and belief systems that people have that they don't know they have. Because I didn't know that you weren't supposed to cry. I thought nobody was supposed to cry. And here's the thing. The reason why He wanted to free me is because He wanted to flow through me without my flesh getting involved. And so I had to go through the process of learning how to activate my emotions again because I shut them all down except for anger. And so, and I'm the type of person that wants it done in 1 minute. I don't like, I'm one of those that I'll give you all my all, but could we have it done in a half hour or less because I'm on to the next thing. I have to be careful not to put false expectations on myself or the Lord because it'll set me up to fall and fail because it has in the past. And so I just like, Lord, Your timing, Your will, show me the next part of this. And He does. And so when I could feel, when I learned, or when it opened, the compassion of love opened inside of me, my whole life changed. I actually, when His compassion comes in a room to heal people, it's His compassion that heals people. When His compassion is flowing and doing deliverance, it's one of the most gentle, wonderful, life-giving experiences that people actually get to experience in services or at home, wherever you're at. It doesn't have to be in a service. You can do this at home. Self-deliverance is very important. And so as we press in tonight, that's what I saw when we were in worship. I saw like questions of people's hearts like, you know, I'm kind of in, but I'm not in because I don't know about this stuff. Here's what I know about Jesus. He's so gentle. He will never give you anything bad. He won't give you a scorpion, a snake, or any of that bad stuff, but He will give you the bread of life, and He will give you the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of grace, and grace brings you into fellowship with Jesus. And so be encouraged to walk in boldness and tenderness and love and let Jesus lead and guide you in all truth, because He will. Amen? Okay, so I actually have some things that the Lord showed me tonight in worship too, and I was trying to write them down as fast as I could, but we're going to transition quickly, because I feel like we need to do testimonies from Saturday. So I know some people had to leave early. Some people had to, some people stayed and didn't testify because they were watching their miracle walk out. We had some creative miracles. We had lots of healing and deliverance. But does anybody want to share anything that happened to them on Saturday? And we have a mic we'll come up and tag you with.
I got to hold the mic. I got in trouble. Yeah, you were there.
So when we first got started, Holly had a word of knowledge for me. Wanted to know if I had a stomach issue, and I have been experiencing this pain in the right side of my stomach. So I received that and then went out to lunch, came back in. I laid on the floor over here because I wanted to test it out and see if it was actually gone. And I was poking my stomach in the spot where it used to hurt, and it was gone. But I gotta say, it tried to come back last night, and I'm like, I just prayed in the spirit over it, and it just kind of dissipated. So I kind of got to keep up with it, because the enemy likes to do that. He likes to steal back, and he's a thief. So.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
So what Joe shared a very important key. When you receive your healing, the enemy hates it, and he never expects that you're going to get it. He doesn't see it coming, and it's like he looked away, you know. And now he's in trouble from all his imps for losing his subject. And so when the enemy tries to come back, it's like a thief that's been caught. If you see a robber trying to get in your door, you don't say, hey, come on in and I'll pray about you later. You say, get out in the name of Jesus. By his stripes I was healed. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Every tongue that rises up against me is hereby condemned. I break the power over you, over my life. You have no authority in Jesus' name. And then he'll back off because he has to bow his knee to Jesus and the word, the word, the word. And then again, he'll come maybe 2 hours later. Same thing, same thing. And eventually, he will leave you alone when he knows you know you have the authority of Jesus Christ. Anybody else? We have one.
I am not 100% sure what he's done for me, but I know since Saturday I've had a new inner peace that I've never had before.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Anybody else? Raise your hand.
I just know I've been just so thirsty for him. Just reading more, praying so much more, just like putting myself out there for him more, and having the faith that he can do it, where before I was like, but I just feel so much light inside of me. So,
amen. Thank you. That's wonderful. That'll continue to grow.
Holly and Lori were talking about heat. Okay.
Just close your eyes, Kath.
And talking about heat. And every time, it seemed like every time somebody got healed, I burned. And I was totally immersed in peace and grace. I didn't want to leave it. That's it.
So I missed the first part. When people were getting healing, what happened to you?
It seemed like when everybody was getting healed, each time somebody was getting healed, you know, I'd hear them later. But when they received,
yeah,
I would just burn.
Oh, okay.
You know. So I was on fire and
yeah,
heat.
Yeah, that's good. So a conduit. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's good. So actually, you know, Kathy's faith actually brought forth healing into the room. Her faith was a faith filled with fire, and faith is released through the heart, and she therefore, you know, people pull. We have people that pray for, you know, months before our conferences and retreats. And we have people praying specifically. And Kathy actually was carrying the conduit of healing power in. You know, she was a draw. She was drawing it in. You know, that's why we say place a draw on the spirit. And that's an example of that, I believe.
Yeah, you mentioned heat. And I was just minding my own business and just trying to pull in. There was a strong presence on Saturday here in this room, very strong presence. And a new kind of thing was being poured out, it seemed to me. And I started getting heat in my left foot. And when you mentioned heat, you know, and I've been waiting for the manifestation of the miracle for my legs from an accident that I had in 2018. And I started walking around the room, and it was much easier for me to walk around, you know. And I believe that I've already been healed because Jesus did it at the cross. And I'm just sitting here agreeing with it.
Yeah.
And trying to work this faith, God's faith for it in me, and then let it manifest and let my belief in God's faith come together as a tipping point for the miracle to take place. And I expect it to happen. You know, I expect it to be there. And it didn't happen all at once, but it's every time, you know, I get a little bit more and a little bit more, and I feel like it's going to bust loose. The other thing that was really a blessing for me was Kathy had told somebody that she saw my son here on Saturday. And I said, no, you must be mistaken. He you know, I had no idea he was going to be here. But for me, that is a miracle that he was there Saturday, and he's here tonight, and God is doing a work in him that I'm so pleased about. So that's a miracle. Amen?
So a backstory on John that I heard, I think, today or yesterday. John, they brought their own lunch, and John normally makes one sandwich. He made two that day and gave one to David. Isn't God, doesn't God take care of everything?
Stomach, it just comes so dang hungry. So, and it was just a stupid stomach issue, yeah. You know? And then I was like, Mom, I'm starving, I'm leaving. And then. Yeah, that was cool.
So, isn't that amazing? God knew the strategy that the enemy was going to use on David and provided the manna ahead of time.
The night before.
The night before.
The night
and John
before.
Knew not that he was his son was coming. And John never eats more than one sandwich, according to Mary. So isn't that funny?
And so we had lunch together in the car, and we had a great talk together, and there was great things happening. So
yeah,
that's just a blessing.
Yeah. Amen.
To watch Amen. The miracle unfold in his life.
Anybody else? Yes, Laura?
People are talking about heat, and there was a gal sitting over here, she comes sometimes, what's her name, Olivia?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there'd been a prophetic word, and she was just testifying that she felt it was partly for her, and when she did, then Holly went back and just prayed for her. Well, I was sitting kitty corner from her, and I would have sworn that Holly had her hands on me. I was on fire. Yeah. My whole head, down my neck, my shoulder, it was like, I'm on fire, I'm burning up, and I don't even know what her problem was, and I didn't know if I should identify with it, it was about me too, or what. But later, I went over and told Holly, I said, you know, when you were praying for her, I was on fire. Then she grabs me and starts praying for me, and I'm burning all the way to my feet, so I'm still waiting for this to manifest because I don't really know what it was about, but I believe that God was working on it, doing something, and it was awesome.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. Anybody else before we move on? Oh, one more. Or two, or three.
Hi. So on Saturday, actually, I testified a little bit on Saturday. You had the prophetic word that I was a missionary, and I am. And then Laura gave me some cash. Another woman called me the next day and signed up to be a supporter. And then as of this morning, the South African government approved us, and we're waiting on visa application, which is a big process. But we're just like, you said your portion's there. And I'm like,
yeah.
As of this morning.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's yeah. That's wonderful. Yep. God's moving. His people are ready, and the doors are open. No more excuses. Put on your boots. Anybody else before we move on? Okay, does anybody have any questions from Saturday? Did anything freak you out, or did you wonder what's up or anything like that? Because I know most of you guys were here. Yes, yes?
Sorry,
yes, yes?
Who had
the
question?
Laura?
I don't know if it was a question, but it just a question about something. There was a word of knowledge that was shared by Holly in the morning. And, you know, frequently you guys, when you delivered a word, you said, how many people think that relates to them? And sometimes it's one, and sometimes it's half a dozen. But this particular word, I was identifying with it, not for me, for my son-in-law.
Yeah.
And so I'm just, you know, kind of, okay. But when she asked if anyone identified with it, nobody did in the whole room. So then later I told her, I said, well, I think it's my son-in-law. It sounds just like it. And she said, I didn't even understand the word and what it was. And I said, yeah, he's got a hiatal hernia. And what you described sounded just like it. And they won't do surgery on it. And, you know, it's affecting him. And so I got them a set of CDs. I'm going to share it with him eventually, but I think God works that way too.
Yes,
I mean,
he does.
Because I just really felt, wow, I identify with this. I don't have a hernia. I don't.
Yeah.
I've had one, so I know what it's like.
Amen. Yeah, you know, a lot of times when, here's the cool thing I love about the Lord. You know, when we rest in him and he's showing us the healings and the miracles and stuff, you know, he has specific people in mind, but it's open to anyone. Whosoever will take it. And we know that, probably about 30 people were supposed to come and didn't make it, if that gives you an idea of how easy it is to get taken out. And people that said, we're coming, we're bringing so-and-so, we're here, and they didn't make it. And we don't, you know, we don't care about that at all. We just worship the Lord and serve the Lord and let him do what he's doing. But I'm saying that because, you know, sometimes the enemy will take us out. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've been taken out, you know, when I used to drive down to Elgin for the meetings all the time on the Saturday nights, you know, crazy stuff, flat tires, fires in the oven, kids fighting, husband fighting, all kinds of stuff. And I had a determine in my heart, I'm going no matter what. And when I started to determine in my heart, the attacks didn't get easier, but the Holy Spirit gave me strategies to win. And I would ask him ahead of time, how to win, and so I've implemented them throughout my life, and to me, they're just like the ABCs. I just do them, but a lot of people don't know that there's war at the door, my friends, and there's also victory, you know, and so you have to push through with determination and the grace of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Anybody else? All right, let's move on, let's move on. Okay, so in worship, he says first read Ephesians. Okay, so I want to read out of the Passion Translation tonight. And I think you guys probably know where I'm going. It's going to be Ephesians 6, 11. But I'm going to back up. Now, my beloved ones, I have saved these most important truths for last. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. I want every one of us to imagine right now being supernaturally infused with strength because of the life union with the Lord Jesus. So imagine yourself one in Jesus. And then imagine yourself standing victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. Now, explosive power, I often think of dynamite. You know, dynamite that's just that you just light off really won't have an effect. But dynamite that's contained under pressure, like put in a box, it'll blow a building apart because of the force that's inside of it. And that is the same force, actually, it's a greater force that Jesus has given us authority to flow in. That's called dunamis power. And that's only through the Holy Spirit. And that's why I'm always saying, you know, get filled with the Holy Spirit. Make sure you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. So we're going to read on a little bit because I know there's some saints in here that are a little bit tired. They've heard God's promises. And the enemy is whispering lies in your ears because there's breakthrough so close and so thin. And so it says, put on God's complete set of armor provided for us. It's provided for us. So we can't go get it. It's provided for us. He gives it to us. So that we will be protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. Now, the accuser is the devil. It's the imps. It's the demonic realm. It's evilness, witchcraft. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms, second heaven. For they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. Because of this, you must wear all the armor that God provides so you're protected as you confront the slanderer. Now listen, did you hear that? As you confront the slanderer. God is calling us to take authority and rule and reign on earth like it is in heaven. He has given us the keys of the kingdom, and somewhere along the line, the church has bought the lie that let the pastor take his authority, her authority, and set us free. We are one in Christ. We all have the same authority. We grow authority as we exercise it by use. And I know there's babies in here, and we will help you. We will help you come grow strong in the Lord, but we don't want to be an idol, and we don't want to be your God. We are pointing you to Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and the Father, and we're contending for your breakthrough and victory. We're cheering you on to finish the race where the Lord will say, well done, good and faithful servant. But there will never be another Jesus Christ. He is the one true God. And so I get it when you're weary, and I get it when you're in POW camp, and we're going to deal with that tonight in a little bit. But what I'm trying to say is, it could be a religious spirit if you're relying on somebody else to bake your cake, to make your bed, to feed you your bottle. We all start out as spiritual babies in the kingdom of God, and as we are, we start to grow through exercise of use through the word and through our prayer language. Pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. It will build your spiritual muscles. You won't see it in the natural right away, because it's being built in the spirit realm, and the angels will hear your voice. They'll notice and recognize you. They'll recognize your language, because as you're praying in tongues, you're actually talking in a language that the devil does not understand, and you may not, and that's okay. Just pray in tongues. Yield yourself to the Holy Spirit and just let her rip. Pray in tongues. You might see a picture or a vision. You might not get nothing, but know this. The Holy Spirit is interceding on your behalf. He's bringing that message. Jesus is hearing it, and he's decreeing and declaring, and stuff is being built and taken out, and it's a powerful thing you can't see because it's in the spirit realm. And most people get tired and quit because they can't see it because it's in the spirit realm. People are so carnally trained to see in the natural and beautify themselves in the natural and take care of their physical bodies, but your spiritual body will last for all of eternity. And how you develop and grow it determines your rank in heaven. Now, I could teach on this, and it's a wonderful teaching, but I don't feel like we're there yet tonight. Let me just tell you this.
He says, no, don't tell him.
He wants us to be hungry for his presence and him alone. And all the other stuff works itself out. You know, these bodies, they're going to fall to the ground, and some people will get buried in the dirt. Some people will be translated into paradise. And who knows who, I don't care, but I'm going to tell you something. The flesh is rotten, and we house the flesh. We carry it because that's the way the system operates. But our spirit man is pure and holy and spotless and full of all kinds of power from the Holy Spirit and life. And if we can learn to train our flesh to subdue to the realms of God. And the hardest part about this is not, oh boy, not taking your chair with you. We have to let go of our old ideas, our old ways. They worked for a season, and they brought us to the point we are today, but God is saying, let me be your chair. Let me be your source for everything. Will you lean on me and trust me with all your heart? And there's some in here who go, I love you, but I don't trust you. And that's okay. I remember being there too. And that's the fun part. You get to walk it out. And as you walk it out, you grow in relationship, just like your spouse. Do you trust your spouse when you first get married? No. You love them and you're smitten, but can you trust them with money? Can you trust them with keeping a secret? Can you trust them with the other marital stuff? You grow in that. And as you grow, you become one. And it's the same way in the spirit. See, the natural is a model of the spirit, the supernatural. And natural's falling away. You won't even be married when you're in heaven. You'll see your wife or husband and be like, hey, how's it going? You know? Remember when we were down there in that stinky flesh and we had that argument? I'm so sorry. You know, that was a stumbling block for me. And I think based on the reels I'm watching, that delayed 2 years of my spiritual growth. And so I'm just asking you, you know, to be in agreement with me for propelling in the spirit, because we continue to grow in the spirit. We continue to grow. Just because we're here, we're still growing spiritually. We'll be growing there spiritually. Paul's still teaching classes, my friends. Yeah. Smith is still teaching. Catherine Kuhlman, still worshiping. Isn't that glorious? Edgar Bailey, he's cheering us on. And he's commissioning and decreeing. You know, I'm not going to go too much deeper in that because some people will freak, but that's enough for that. Okay, so let's continue on, hey? Okay. I got to figure out where I was. Spirit of God. As you confront the slanderer, you are destined for all things and will rise victorious. That's a promise from God. You're destined for all things, and you're going to rise victorious, my friend. You're destined for all things, and you're going to rise victorious, my friend. You're destined for all things, and you're going to rise victorious, my friend. All of you are destined for good, good things, and you're going to rise victoriously. But in order to do that, you got to put on a few things. One is the truth, the belt truth. Put on truth as a belt to strengthen you to stand in triumph. Now, funny about the belt, and I'm just going to tell you this, I'm getting this hot off the press. I don't have any notes or nothing. Funny thing about the belt, sometimes belts hurt. A little too tight, a little too loose. Belts are meant for adjustment. What we know now, we believe is truth. But as we grow in God, that truth deepens, and we tighten our belt because the old way is not right anymore. Now, some people like suspenders, and they're like, I don't want the belt. Okay, and they'll be the ones that have to fight the slanderer and will have struggling times until they realize the authority that Jesus really has our best interest at heart and everything is ours for his taking. Amen? So the belt is the truth, and the truth is the Word of God. The truth is opened and revealed through the Holy Spirit as we read the word, and revelation pops. I know the spirit of revelation, wisdom, and the spirit of wisdom and revelation flows freely in these services. People get all kinds of stuff because, to be honest, Holy Spirit has opened that. We walk in it, and it's important. We need to go deeper. Don't we need to go deeper? So how do you do it? You can read the word, but if you don't have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that coaches you. That's the coach to go in further. Okay, put on holiness as the protective armor that covers your heart. Now, holiness is interesting because a lot of people think holiness is do this, don't do that. That's not holiness. Holiness is a hunger for the Lord in such a deep way. It's a heart-to-heart connection, and that grows as you pursue him. You can pursue him through worship. You can pursue him from poetry. You can pursue him from arts, nature. However it is, the love language that God put inside of you, when you pursue him in holiness, meaning on your journey, this is what happens. On your journey, you're pursuing, and it's pleasurable because it's your love language that he gave you. But along the way, the enemy's job is to take you out. So let's say, I'm just going to use you an example. Let's say this is not true. Well, it's partly true, but it's not true. Let's just say one of your love languages is gardening. Okay, so you are tending to the garden in the natural, and as you're tending to the garden, there's this thing that happens in your heart where you start to realize you're doing it unto the Lord, that those are His plants. That is His ground. That is His seed. And you want to do it in a spirit of excellence. And so that is holiness growing. And then there's communion because you're listening and talking. You might be a farmer, same thing. It doesn't matter. But here's how the enemy works. He's going to try to get you to flesh out. And so he'll send like a bee to sting the enemy. Maybe he'll send a bee or, you know, a fly to bite or something stupid like that. And even, you know what? Every knee will bow. Every knee. I believe creatures too. You know, think of a mosquito bowing to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, so even though it's something that is trying to hurt her, she can go into anger mode and kill that thing, and that would be a moment of flesh, but she can kill that thing in the spirit just as well. That thing has no right to hurt the temple of God. The choices, it's a choice of the heart, and it's the slivers that God's dealing with. I know this sounds strange, and I'm just getting it, so I hope that blesses you. Does it bless you a little bit? Do you get it? You know, when I used to, you know, I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he said, will you serve me? I said, yeah. Before I was a servant, I was a slave. I go, you own me. The world owned me. Will you take me? I own me. I'll be a slave. I'll do anything you tell me to do. People don't like slave mentality, but you know what? Slaveship brings sonship. Sonship brings rulership. And so as I was learning to be a steward of the stuff, you know, like I would see things that need to be done, and I would just go do it, and I would do it unto the Lord. I didn't do it because I wanted a pat on the back. I did it because the toilet was dirty and nobody else cleaned it. You know, nobody noticed. And it was God's house. And I'm like, how come no one's cleaning? Oh, I guess I'll just go clean it. I'll tell you something. I have more encounters by a toilet than I have, you know, in my prayer closet, to be honest with you. In the old days, it was like he would show up and he would just be so happy that I was tending to his needs for his people. And so you do it unto the Lord, not to be seen of man. If you're dispeased, and that's the problem. You know, we got to kill the pride. Because if we're doing it to be seen a man, there's your blessing right there. That's it. There it is. He will notch it right here in this piece of wood, which is going to burn up because it's flesh. But if it's done unto the Lord, there is a crown of righteousness laid up in heaven. And every once in a while, we get a diamond in. And some people think it's only with salvation. That's not true. Salvation is fullness of God, and it's much deeper. So does that bless you so far? Okay. So the enemy's job is to try to knock us out. And so don't look at holiness as a deed. It's not a deed. It's not a checklist. I'm holy today, I'm not tomorrow. You can't be pure and holy without Jesus Christ, period. His holiness is in you even if you sin. You have a bad thought, you're still holy because you're wholly His. His blood purchased redemption for you from all sin and corruption. Now, don't go willfully out sinning, because then you trample the blood of Jesus afresh and new, and then there remains no sacrifice. That scares me, scares me, scares me. Fine line, we see it a lot. People play. I'll tell you what happens when you play. You get caught by the enemy. It's inevitable. That's his job. It's like you walk out of the blessings of God, and then you get captured by the enemy, and you end up in prison, in bondage. And so the way out of that is to turn your back on sin, repent, turn your back on sin and say, I'm not doing that anymore. Lord, please forgive me. Here I am. Help me with my unbelief. Help me with my issues. And that's it. And the enemy can't touch you after that. But it's not a revolving door, but it is for some. But it slows you down in your growth. Does that help you? Stand on your feet. Oh, one more thing about put on the holiness as the protective armor that covers your heart. Guard your heart against judgment, bitterness, anger, the fleshly senses. If you can learn to lean in and be led by the Spirit, which takes lots of practice, and guess what? You'll get lots of practice with this. because it happens a lot. You know, people have to learn to subdue their flesh. There comes a point when you do walk victorious and you're no longer responding out of the flesh, out of your emotions, and it's just a hallelujah. Yep, the pitcher broke, hallelujah. You know, the car's dead, hallelujah. How are you going to fix it, Jesus? Because he owns everything and you steward what he gives you, so it's his responsibility. But when we flesh out and say, now I got to call AAA, we have taken authority in the natural realm and actually robbed God of his blessing of, I'm going to call it salvation, a blessing of a full return on help coming. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like a miracle or something. Okay. Stand on your feet alert, then you'll always be ready to share the blessings of peace. Now, this is where I want to talk just a sentence on this, because we're going to deal with this tonight in prayer. The reason why we have to stand on our feet alert is because think of an animal that's laying down, resting. The enemy's always looking to and fro to devour who he may. And so it's important to learn to develop your spiritual muscles in your feet. Marching, praying tongues, praying tongues, praying tongues, praying tongues. That's all I'm going to say on that. In every battle, take faith as your wraparound shield. I love this one. For it is able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. So, a lot of times we're taught, you know, the shield of faith is, you know, that little shield you get in Sunday school with that little fake sword thing. And you know what? The shield of faith is wraparound faith. It doesn't just cover your eye, head. It's wraparound faith. It cannot penetrate you. It reminds me of Lance Wallnew with As One. You know, everyone's back to back and there's no way for the enemy to penetrate. And that's really important. It's a picture. You know, that's that Mel Gibson movie, Gladiators or whatever that thing is. And everybody's, you know, armed together in battle as one. There is no entry point for the enemy. The shield of faith is that in the spirit realm through the word of God, activated by our words. And so the sword, so the shield of faith is able to extinguish the blazing arrows. They can't touch us. You can't penetrate through. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies. Now, this is self-explanatory. Read the word, read the word, read the word. If you have bad thoughts, read the word, read the word, read the word. You can change your input and your output through the word of God. If you have struggles with pornography, read the word, read the word, read the word. Read it out loud. Command your mind to be washed in the blood of Jesus and command the scriptures to come alive in your mind, and you can get free from the images that were imprinted on your brain. And I've also seen people get healed and delivered of those imprints through laying of hands in certain cases. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies, and take the mighty razor-sharp spirit sword of the spoken word of God. So the razor sharp, when I hear that, I think of, you know, the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, able to discern down to the bone and marrow, the thoughts and intentions. And the word of God, we have to use that as an active weapon, wham, you know, against the situations, against our circumstances, against breakthrough or blockages. Push through with the word, declare, declare, and watch the mountain move as in Mark 11. Whosoever says to this mountain, shall it be removed, cast in the sea, it shall be done. You have to speak that, and you have to have faith in your heart to release it. The way you get faith in your heart is through inputting the word of God in your heart, not your head, in your heart. Meditate it on it day and night. Amen? I'm trying to go a little faster because I know we're running late. Pray passionately in the Spirit as you constantly intercede with every form of prayer at all times. Pray the blessings of God upon all his believers. Pray the blessings of God upon all his believers. Pray the blessings of God on all his believers. If you start to judge somebody and, you know, like maybe somebody cuts you off, maybe somebody is not nice to you and you think, well, good Lord, what's your problem? Pray the blessing of the Lord on those people. And what will happen is it will open up your heart and they won't bug you anymore. Amen. Their actions won't bother you. I like that. You can't fight with somebody who's whole. Now, who's whole, emotionally whole. You can fight with somebody who's got emotional issues and baggage, and how many do we, you know, could we raise our hand? We are all on our way out of that. But there comes a point, I know people, you can't fight with them. They just don't have it in them. They're so whole, they don't even recognize that you're all up at a huff. Amen? Wouldn't that be wonderful? I'm pressing in for that, my friends. I'm a little closer today than I was yesterday. Because I'm willfully pursuing everything. I'm not stopping. I'm marching. I'm praying and I'm marching. Okay. Okay. So that would be our friend Paul, who is giving us great wisdom and revelation on the full armor of God. And I'm praying that it encourages you to go in deeper and ask the questions, because so much is happening right now. I want all of us to get it. Amen?
We hope you enjoyed today's message. You can download more messages at our store from spiritofgodworldwide.com.